A senior lecturer at the University of Education Winneba, Opinion Kwame Appiah, says anybody who indicts what Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah did does so as a result of ignorance for what he stood for. Opinion Kwame Appiah told Radio Ghana that the educational development program of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah was based on science and technology, vocational and technical knowledge. He said if that had been pursued logically without interruption, Ghana's development process would have reached an advanced stage. He spoke with George Ankra.
At that 1966, 24 February 1966 coup, in fact, was an action that put the whole development program and the forward march to nationhood of this country into jeopardy. And it has followed us up to this day, because if Ghana is not making a headway in all fields of development, education, industry, agriculture, you name it, it is because of that coup d'etat. Because everything had been planned. Without planning, you cannot do things properly. And everything has been planned. The 7-year development plan, which was not implemented because of that coup, brought to a halt our forward march. So, in fact, that coup d'etat has been the greatest drawback of this country. But I'm sorry, many people in this country do not know the essence of this coup d'etat, and they are still following some sayings and some false writings which people put up against Nkrumah of being a dictator, of wanting a one-party state, and putting people in jail, and so on and so forth. These were engineered to tarnish the image of the man, but the good work, the essence, the importance, the purpose for which he stood for had never been made for our children. So in our textbooks and the schools and so on, they are not read about. So how can these children know the good work and then take them up and continue with it 46 or so years after his overthrow? That is first a regret for that coup d'etat. To Nkrumah, education was linked to the development of this country, the nation building of this country. It was inextricably linked to it, because to him, education must be the cornerstone of every development. And he said in 1961 that in the first place, the education which Christians and Europeans established in Africa denied the essential things for nation building. For instance, it denied our culture, it denied our way of living, it denied our value system. And so Christianity itself was a part and parcel course of our underdevelopment, because it did not emphasize on technical, vocational and scientific education, but the clerical aspect, blue collar job and that kind of thing. So, to him, education must re-establish the dignity of the African. That was number one. Education must re-establish the dignity of the African, that is African personality and culture. Number two, the rapid modernization of the economy to create job and the well-being of the African people. So these are the two pivots upon which his educational reform rested. But technically, the time he took over in 1951 as the leader of the government business, almost all the secondary schools and the training colleges were in the hands of the churches, and basic education was virtually dominated by the churches.
Opinion Kwame Appiah looks at the future of Ghana's education, saying it must be based on practical principles.
We will have to look at the development of education from the two points of view, from the community point of view and from the school point of view. Infrastructure that must be put in place to attract children to remain in the classroom. Number one, the school infrastructure must be attracting. Number two, there must be cultural center and sports complexes which will tap what I should call the talent hunt, that will hunt the talents. And of course, finally, the libraries that will help the children to do practice, because if a teacher teaches in the classroom and the child goes home and has nothing to practice and continue with the training that he has received, he will tend to forget it. Remember, the Chinese say that when I listen, I forget. When I read, I remember. But when I practice, when I do understand. This should be the modus operandi of the development of education in this country.
That was a senior lecturer at the University of Education, Winneba, Opinion, Kwabena Pia. A leading member of the CPP, Professor Jimaibe Dwakosa, has described the 1966 coup which toppled Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah as a dark day of Ghana and the continent. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Professor Kosa, who spent 24th February in Zambia lecturing on the legacy of Nkrumah, said there is a need to educate the Ghanaian more on what Nkrumah stood for. He spoke to George Ankra.
Well, there was a Kwame Nkrumah Memorial Seminar, and I had the privilege to be there together with Professor Anyang Nyong'o, the political scientist and the general secretary of the Orange Freedom Movement and the Minister for Medical Sciences in Kenya, with Professor Helmi Karawi, a known Pan-Africanist and an author of 13 Arab books. I was there with the first Prime Minister of Namibia, who is currently the Minister for Trade and members of the WAPO Youth Movement and the ANC Youth Movement from South to discuss the legacy of Osagyefo Dr. Kwame. It was an exciting night, particularly listening to other Africans speak about Osagyefo Dr. Kwame. When the SWAPO youth leader and the ANC youth leader spoke, I almost wept. They know more about Nkrumah. They respect Nkrumah more than the people of this country. I came out feeling that is a task that some of us have got to do, to educate Ghana and not to allow the detractors, people who did not believe in Ghana's independence and Ghana's development, the people who have always sought development for the elite, for the few, and not for everybody. Kwame Nkrumah believed in the politics of meeting the needs of the people at their point of need. That was, and that for me, is the essence of politics. And I was glad to be there, and I was glad to give my perspective from Ghana. And I believe that I felt I had served the 24th of February as well as I could.
Professor Kosa, critics of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah will always say that he was a dictator as a result of the PDA that he brought about. How would you explain this situation?
Those people do not want to remember the state in which Ghana was, the mayhem that was being predicated on innocent Ghanaians. There were many loss of life. So many things happened. And the duty of a leader is to maintain the sovereignty of the nation. I want to believe that after 9/11, George Bush had promised no other bringing the patriots. It's today that a fly bombing in the UK. The British government had no choice but to bring in the UK Terrorism Act. Those are leaders who, when they have to make a decision based on the exigencies of the time, do not only think about themselves.
Professor Akosa also commented on Kwame Nkrumah's recognition of the health sector.
At the time of independence, the population of this country was 6, and yet very little more has been added to the landscape. Of course, you have Tsunami, the new Tsunami Regional Hospital. They had the old municipal hospital. Yes, now we have the Tsunami Regional Hospital. Like Cape Coast, there was a municipal hospital. Now there is the big central regional hospital. But these are, should I say, just the addition, and really have not changed the health landscape. And I have said time and time again that the only solution is the full implementation of the peripheral medical system, which was, it was Ghanaian dream. A Ghanaian was born in Ghana, known as community-based health planning and services. And people like Professor Binka or the School of Public Health, who developed these things when they were in Abrongo, still worry why it is taking us all this time fully implemented. And not until this is implemented throughout the country, Ghana will not have quality. I've said this to probably everybody. The only person that I've not said this to is the new minister, Honorable Alvin Bagbin. And I intend, now that I'm back, to make an appointment, go and see and talk to him about it. If I had a chance, I would stop building hospitals. I would only start on with the hospital programs once the entire chip, whole country is functioning the chip. Because that would reduce, that is providing the needs of the people at their point of need.
A leading member of the CPP, Professor Jimaibe Dwakosa. The leader of the Ghana Evangelical Society, Brother Enoch Agbusu, justified the overthrow of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, saying that was when Ghana had her true independence. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Brother Agbusu said from his divine revelations, pouring of libation is ungodly, and the adoption of the socialist policy was also a deviation from God's control of the world. He spoke with George Ankra.
I said that God has chosen Ghana for Africa and the world in the end time. And God has a special plan for our country. as a mother country for his kingdom rule on earth in the end times, just as he chose Israel. And Kwame Nkrumah, among others, were given the opportunity, you know, to launch our independence. And he led, he didn't start the movement, but he came on the scene, and God bless him, he was appointed to do it. Except that by 1960, Kwame Nkrumah had adopted a complete posture which was against the Christian agenda of this. Kwame Nkrumah himself was reported to have stated that he wanted to be Ghana as a Christian nation. By 1960, he changed it. The party of liberation and public function started at the celebration of the Republic Day on the 1st July 1960. From that time onwards, Kwame Nkrumah's agenda for this country had three dimensions. Number one, the political independence of Africa. Number two, the establishment of Ghana on a theistic socialist philosophy, which was anti-God. Number three, he also was trying to return the country to what he called African Renaissance, or you may put it this way, Pan-Africanism, by returning to idolatry and satanic practices.
I would disagree with you when you state that the pouring of libation on important ceremonial days is anti-Christ or anti-God, because that was traditionally the way we revere God before the white man brought the Bible.
Yes.
And then I also disagree with you on the grounds that you said Kwame Nkrumah led Ghana into a socialist policy. Which is more godly, sharing together or not?
Number one, if you are a believer in the scriptures and you know the Bible, you will know that the calling of other gods, the worship of God was against it altogether. Idolatry, that tradition was there. Yes, you know, the Bible said light came and darkness could not comprehend it, and they rejected it. God wants to redeem humanity. It's not even just Ghana, humanity. Yesterday I was telling the church, Satan and man agreed to reject God in the Garden of Eden, and they wanted to establish a kingdom that was God. You know, Satan, man was put in charge, dominion of the earth. And God was having a relationship with man. And then Satan was able to get into man's kingdom order. And man had an establishment, a relationship with Satan, so that God's control of the world, of the human race and creation, was removed by that agreement. I call it Satan-Man Alliance. And that Satan-Man Alliance created a new phenomenon. Instead of God being worshipped and honored, Satan took over. And then Satan and man agreed to establish their control of creation on earth, leaving God alone. But God, in his message, sent Jesus Christ to reorder, rearrange the whole thing. He shed his blood to make that possible, to reorder. So he brought reconciliation with God. He brought peace, therefore. And then at the same time, he established the kingdom of God, that man should return to God, and be where there is peace, the worship of God shall prosper. So this is the mission of Jesus Christ, to change the whole phenomenon. He has come not to save man from sin alone, but to establish the kingdom of God.
That was the leader of the Ghana Evangelical Society, Brother Enoch Abuzu, talking to George Ankara.